And welcome everyone to today's News Tonight, the weeknight news show where we're joined by special guests and our lovely patrons to discuss the day's gaming news. I'm your host, Derek Bittner, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend and GVG co-founder, Ash Paulson, along with our very special guest, Brandon Miracle, and Kaylin Sassetto, Mars Girl. No Steve tonight, as he's off going to the movies with his mother. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom, indeed.
Yeah, hi, Mom, indeed. He's actually, he chose his mother over us. How dare he?
Yeah, I believe God. What a jerk, man.
I know. God. But Kaylin, there was some news today that kind of made it like, you know what? Let's have Kaylin back on. This is sort of down her wheelhouse. But how you been doing?
Oh, very, very good today, especially. This is a good day for me. I've thrown up the background for Isazaki Ijincho, the Yokohama location of
Nice
Like a Dragon. So, but that's going to come into play a little bit later today too. Super excited. I'm so excited.
It actually is a shame that Steve's not here because Judgment is like,
I know,
the one, Yakuza thing that he's played and just really, fell in love with. So I know
that's
he's
too bad. Yeah. That would have been a good conversation.
I know. It's like, Kaylin, oh, perfect.
You'll be happy to know that even if I haven't played Judgment and Steve said, I am, since we last had you on the show, I'm about 40 to 45 hours into Yakuza Like a Dragon. It is my first Yakuza game. It is not simple enough to say, what a great game. This game's awesome. It's fantastic.
It's
fantastic.
Good. I'm so surprised at how well it fits into the Yakuza franchise, despite being an entirely new battle mechanic for the franchise. But then
it started as an April Fool's joke, of all things.
Yeah, started as an April Fool's joke, and then they were like, huh, but what if we did really? So it's going to be really, really fun to revisit this same map from Like a Dragon, and then be able to do it in the classic brawler style.
Right, exactly.
So fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some really good stuff out there. I'm looking forward to playing it myself. It's going to be a while. My first Yakuza is still going to be Zero, but that's a stream for way down the line. There's a few other games I got to get through first.
Zero is a good place to start. It's a good place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard. Mm-hmm. So definitely looking forward to that. Before we jump into the news topics, though, I do want to give a little shout out to, we don't have a sponsor, but we do have the Runaway Guys Coliseum going on right now. Obviously, we'd prefer if you watch us for right as well, but Chugga, Proton John, all of them doing a bunch of stuff for charity right now for the next 3 days. Obviously, we've had Chugga on the show. He's a great friend of mine and just all of us. So definitely check that out if you got the time. Maybe throw in some money for the charity and just give them all kinds of support. But with that said, how about you guys? How about we talk about the news? You guys up for that?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Is that what we're here for?
Yeah. I think so. Ostensibly. All right. And our first topic today is Switch and Nintendo is still doing amazingly well. Yeah, Nintendo's still killing it with the Switch. Who would have guessed? I am shocked that they haven't tanked by now. It's unbelievable.
Utterly. Well, Nintendo's been doomed, man. They've been doomed.
I know. I can't believe it. But yes, they have reached 84.59 million units sold worldwide as of March 31st, with total software sold on the console reaching 587 million. They sold approximately 28.83 million units of hardware and 230.9 units of software this past fiscal year. And it just continues on. In fact, Switch is now eighth on the all-time best-selling consoles list across all systems, not even amongst Nintendo. They are just behind the PlayStation 3, which is sitting at 87.4, while the Wii is at 101.63. So it's a little ways to get to the Wii and reach that number six spot, but they are closing in on the PS3 pretty handily.
They'll make it. They'll make it.
Yeah, they're going to make it.
For sure.
Absolutely. These numbers are staggering. I mean, it continues to look like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is going to be the bestseller when all is said and done, but there are so many incredibly well-selling first-party games for the Switch that, I mean, Nintendo's got to be happy with these results. It's incredible.
I think I saw that there are 11 games on the Switch that have sold over 10 million copies, which apparently the best is like 10 on a single console or something like that. I forget exactly, but I know there's at least 11 that are over 10 million copies sold, and that is insane.
That's really impressive. I know I bought my Switch on launch day, and then actually just now as Monster Hunter Rise has come out, we got my husband the Monster Hunter Rise Switch so that we could play together, and that's been fantastic. So yeah, just contributing to those increased sales for the Switch. Good job, Nintendo.
Actually, Derek, it's looking like there are 36 million sellers on the Switch.
Well, yeah, 36 million sellers. I'm talking 10 million sellers.
Oh, you said 10 million sellers. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, it's still pretty wild.
We got to go even farther beyond, man. Got to go even farther beyond.
Right. Plus Ultra.
Yeah. I guess Nintendo's strategy for Super Mario 3D All-Stars seems to have worked, though, because it sold 9 million copies in that time frame that it was actually available.
That's
Ring
nuts.
Fit's still doing well at 7.38, but yeah, jeez. Yeah.
You know, Animal Crossing could overtake Mario Kart. It's not guaranteed, but Animal Crossing is selling at just an unbelievable pace.
It came at just like the right time that it needed to exist. It could have only existed in that bubble where we needed it during pandemic times, stuck inside. I did spend a lot of time with it right at launch, and I haven't played it so much since, but man, that was an important period right then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's getting to a point, like, what do you say about Nintendo just selling this well? Like, it's just like old hat. There's nothing really
good
to
job.
Say. Yeah, it's like, go Nintendo, you've conquered the world, I guess, but my God.
I mean, never forget they could always slip up in the future and pull another Wii U. Like,
oh, absolutely.
It could always happen again. But now, they're on a pretty good streak. They're doing pretty well.
Absolutely. But yeah, there actually was one more interesting thing that came out of these fiscal reports, which is just, on one hand, makes sense. On the other hand, really? And let's make that our next news topic. So let's go ahead and bring that up. So yeah, tucked inside the fiscal reports, Nintendo had a little thing here saying that Illumination's CEO Chris Meledandri has been nominated as a new outside director at Nintendo. Apparently, things are going pretty well with that Mario movie.
They must be for him to have scored such a position just through this collaboration alone. I mean, that's what a weird bit of news to come out of to be buried and come out of this fiscal report.
It makes me wonder, like, how much are movies going to influence Nintendo's future at this point? Like, if they're going this far, is the Mario movie production just going that well that they're like, all right, we like the direction this is taking. Let's just, you know, make this director seat, or not director seat, but the seat happen now. And we'll keep pumping out movies in the future.
Sounds pretty confident. That's a bold, confident move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see a question here by you, Nurikami, in our Patreon chat. What is an outside director? And I actually just looked it up. An outside director is a member of a company's board of directors who is not an employee or stakeholder in the company. Outside directors are paid an annual retainer fee in the form of cash, benefits, and or stock options. So according to this Investopedia, thank you, Investopedia, outside directors are advantageous for the company because they have less conflict of interest and may see the big picture differently than insiders. The downside of outside directors is that since they are less involved with the companies they represent, they may have less information upon which to base decisions and fewer incentives to perform. I don't think that's going to be a problem with Meledandri if he wants to have even more movies. So,
right.
I guess.
I mean, as we were saying the other day, I know we all of us here are big proponents of the idea of just more Nintendo animation, more, you know, we love to see Nintendo branching outside of games. And hopefully this Mario movie, you know, turns out really well. And by all accounts, they're happy internally with how it's turning out. So how great would it be if this did, if this could be, you know, parlayed into other IPs getting the animation treatment?
I mean, that's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah, see all exactly.
To finally have a series of video game films to not be disappointed with. And I thought Sonic was a super great start this past year. And maybe Nintendo has looked at what Sega has done and thought, let's do that, improve upon that model. We're really convinced we got a good solid plan. I hope that their confidence is well placed. I really hope that it is, and I hope we can trust them.
I hope so. Like the biggest question I have as far as this Mario movie is, do they keep Martinet? That's my big question.
Right. If they don't, I'll be devastated. Like Charles Martinet's been a huge influence on my life.
It'll be weird if they don't,
and
right?
I just can't see a Mario movie without him in the role. It wouldn't feel right.
It wouldn't, and yet at the same time, I wonder how it would be hearing him voice actual full sentences. I know, you know, yes, Nintendo or Mario has had his, you know, sentences here and there, like "Thank you so much for playing my game," but I mean, like full scripts, right?
Yahoo!
Like full scripts.
I mean,
and I'm not that he can't do it. I'm not saying,
yeah,
he has to prove himself. I'm just wondering what it'll be like.
Well, would they make that stylistic decision though?
That's also true.
The whole rest of the cast speak around him and be his motivator as the almost silent protagonist that he's been in games as well. Would they make that decision in a movie?
Yeah.
It's hard to say, right?
I could almost see that working.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Go ahead, Ash.
I was going to say, in our patron chat, as Yu Narukami says, he can speak gibberish in Mario & Luigi games, so maybe his dialogue will be that, which would be pretty funny.
Honestly, I would love that if it was just the gibberish from Mario & Luigi.
Yeah.
Like it if it was like him miming, like in Super Mario RPG, just pantomiming everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be so good.
I would love that.
That'd offer an opportunity to flex the creative animation muscle, too, and give Mario some character. Because right now he's just oatmeal.
yeah, just a bet. I don't know. That I think that is probably almost more so than the story. What do you do with that with Mario?
Right.
I don't know.
We've seen those animated shorts from like Camelot for like Mario Power Tennis and Toadstool Tour. And that kind of takes the pantomime route with occasional sentences or words from the characters. And I think I'd be okay watching a 90-minute movie like that. I mean, you look at Shaun the Sheep. Shaun the Sheep's first movie is almost completely silent in terms of like the core protagonist. So I think it could work.
Yeah, some people have pointed out, we've had Martinet. Of course, we have the ending of Luigi's Mansion: Dark Moon, where we have a bit more sentences from Luigi, and even Mario. As well as WarioWare Gold recently, which, you know, Martinet plays Wario as well. So there are things, but yeah, that would be kind of wild to actually play with the idea of Mario as a mostly silent protagonist, just sort of agreeable and going for it. But can you build a movie around that? I don't know. It really is like a scripting challenge.
And there is precedent for the other approach, too. I mean, we know that Captain Lou Albano provided the voice for Mario in the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. And I'm sure there are varying opinions on his portrayal of Mario, but I actually loved it. I thought that was very charming. And obviously, you know, Mr. Albano is not with us anymore. But, you know, there is a precedent. He set the precedent for having Mario as a fully scripted character, right? In both a live action and an animated show, actually.
Do you push the Brooklyn accent?
I know. I kind of want him to. It was so charming.
Yeah.
I
mean,
if you look back at interviews with Charles, he mentions like when he was originally doing that audition, that was the voice he was going to go in with, was like that plumb under your sink kind of voice.
When
they started recording, he claims like he didn't plan this. It just came out like this. Hello, me, Mario. And then he did that for like the entirety of the tape, and that's how he became Mario. But he didn't plan on doing that.
That's so amazing.
That could be a good callback.
It could be.
Hmm.
I mean, Richard Herrera in chat here says, we did see how Bob Haskins turned out, though, too. So
right, that was my other concern, too, is that if you lean into the Brooklyn accent, you get to the flashbacks to the whole movie.
Hoskins is British, though, trying to do that American accent. So,
right,
he was also drunk.
Yeah, he was drunk a lot of the time.
That is also true.
How else would you do that movie?
Yeah. Honestly.
Sober.
I've not seen the full thing myself, but I have seen clips of that Mario anime. Years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
and he did speak in full sentences there. And, you know, you had a story that time, but Mario does not get Peach at the end of that one. There's some sort of weird dog that follows him along. It turns out to be a lost prince, and the prince gets Peach in the end after he saves the day, which...
I was so mad.
I haven't seen this. I want to, but I haven't seen this.
It's before a lot of the conventions of Mario had been established, so there's a lot of weirdness in that movie, but it's a great relic of its time.
By the way, Brandon, we have a few people pointing out in both chats that your Mario voice was fantastic, man. And it was
really good.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you so much.
That was really, really well done. Man, that was great.
Huh.
I think we need to do a whole stream of you talking as Mario and me talking as Sonic and just see where it goes.
I'm down.
You got that Mario versus Sonic thing going on. Perfect.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens with Melodandry. And that movie's supposed to come out next year, right? Am I wrong on that? Then we have to be getting a trailer at some point.
We're going to have a Mario movie and the sequel to Sonic the Hedgehog. It's going to be a good year for gamers.
I'm so excited for Sonic.
Console wars are back on the big screen.
Oh my God. If they do that in the marketing, I'll be so happy.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
That would be fantastic. Yes.
I would love it. I would love it. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next topic. I saw here, Get Lucky, maybe a trailer at E3. Well, speaking of E3.
Nice.
We have a few more confirmations of studios that will be at this E3, which we didn't have a full list. We noted a couple missing ones, but more and more companies are kind of stepping up as they're going to be there. And that includes Bandai Namco, Square Enix, Sega, and Gearbox. So, yeah, we're actually getting, it's starting to feel a little bit more like E3 with all companies actually coming in and doing all this.
I need more information on Final Fantasy 16. I need that information to happen at E3, and it will.
It's coming. Yeah.
I am so curious, especially the more I play of 14. It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Do we have an idea have they announced who the script writer is for 16?
Oh, I'm not sure if they announced the script writer, but they, you know, the production team was obviously the Final Fantasy 14 team. That Yoshi P is the producer behind it as well, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yes.
So excited to go like single player Final Fantasy 14 kind of concept, returning to traditional fantasy elements. God, I'm excited for it. So jazzed.
I'm excited to see more because and I've mentioned this to Derek before and Steve, but the first FF16 trailer surprisingly did not win me over. It was the first time a new Final Fantasy debut trailer hadn't. And I'm not saying I think it's going to suck. I'm just looking forward to seeing more because I'm just not quite there yet. And that's a weird feeling for me to have with a new Final Fantasy game. And I think I got overt Dark Souls vibe from the art direction and world design and, not sure about that yet for Final Fantasy, but I obviously know the pedigree of the team making it, at least the people they've announced so far. FF14 is beloved, so I'm certainly open to being blown away.
I'm definitely feeling a lot better. If they have my whole thing I was getting at is like if it's the same writer as Shadowbringers, which according to the patron chat, yes, it is. Who's also back for Endwalker. Shadowbringers, it's basically seems to be Shadowbringers is specifically like the best story in Final Fantasy. You just need all the stuff before that to sort of
that's what I keep hearing.
Set it up. Yeah. I'm slowly making my way through. There's a lot of games coming out right now, so it's been hard to play 14 lately. I think that's more that your lack of excitement is actually almost by design by Yoshi P. Ash, because you know Square usually has these blowout CG trailers, and Yoshi P was specifically said he wants to have it more in line with this is what you can expect from the final game, not this
right. Although there was still quite a bit of CG in that initial trailer.
Oh yeah, of course, but it's just like they're not going overblown with my God, it's gorgeous and
right. He specifically wanted to make sure that it represented what you were actually going to play, because Square has had such a history of, we're going to show you this fully pre-rendered thing and we're going to get you so excited for this game that's not going to come out for another 7 years and you have no idea how it actually plays. And we saw a little bitty bit of gameplay in that trailer, and I can understand the hesitation because I don't fully feel like we have seen enough gameplay yet. I would see more gameplay at E3. That's what I'm hoping for.
That's got to be their vehicle to really properly show off the game's gameplay. And I fully admit, stylistically, it's a thing with me. It's not the game, it's me. You guys know I love my overblown anime bullshit, and which is why I'm happy that we still have the FF7 remake series, because they're going in on that, obviously, with FF7. But this is obviously it's a little more dialed down. The aesthetic approach seems to be a little bit more based in Western presentation, which is totally fine. So it's definitely a me issue more than the game itself.
I feel like they've gone back to their traditional roots of a Western style fantasy. Yeah, and what they have chosen stylistically is also very Western, because Final Fantasy did not always, like, even though it was Western fantasy, it didn't always look like a Western fantasy, because how could it when it used to be like itty bitty pixels? But so I understand from a stylistic choice how this has gone way Western out of a Japanese developer, and you sort of have to wrestle with how do these two things work together. God, I just hope we see more.
I do think it's kind of interesting to get that Japanese perspective on a, you know, more Western direction. So from that angle, I'm pretty interested in seeing what they come up with. Also, the Shadowbringers team, and that's all you really needed to say to me.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Derek.
Oh, no, go ahead, Ash, go ahead.
We also know, of course, that Sega and Bandai Namco and Gearbox are joining the roster as well, the E3 roster. If Sega somehow, after all the non-announcements we've gotten for Sonic's 30th anniversary, if Sega somehow allows E3 2021 to pass without some kind of actual game announcement, they have to, right? Give me hope. Please give me
no hope. No hope.
Wasn't there a recent advert that went out saying that there'd be announcements in 22?
I think so.
We know that this game has been in development for so long. We were supposed to hear about it last year at this point. So at the same time, I feel like if they don't have anything to show, there's something wrong.
It does seem. What did COVID do to them?
Sakuragi in our patron chat says Sonic the card game on mobile. There you go. But Sir Stupefy in our patron chat makes a good point. Virtua Fighter. We do know that Sega's working on a new Virtua Fighter, so maybe that'll get a proper reveal at E3.
God, it's been so long since Virtua Fighter.
I know.
Yeah.
Was it 5?
That was the last one, right?
Five is the latest one, and of course, Bandai Namco's presence means we can safely assume that we're getting both Klonoa 3 and Ridge Racer 8, obviously.
Clearly.
I mean, they really wanted to mention Tales of Arise. Nobody cares about
that. Right, right. No, exactly. Yeah.
We didn't have an E3 last year, so obviously this E3 is going to be incredible.
Obviously. Yeah. Totally.
That's exactly what that means. Direct correlation.
One other thing, of course, is Konami has also confirmed it won't be in attendance, despite saying it has several notable projects in the works. We'll see if that means anything. I doubt it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see what they do.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Has Nintendo announced what they're doing yet?
No, but they're going to be at E3. They did say that. The only ones we know for sure that won't be at E3 right now is EA and Sony.
Okay.
Sony, right.
Yes,
I think bare minimum with Nintendo, we can probably say we're going to get a Smash character reveal and some new Breath of the Wild 2 information, I would say.
I'll even go with a maybe on the Breath of the Wild 2 stuff.
We'll get something new. But I'm much more confident in the Smash part of that than I am.
Aonuma did say we'd hear stuff later in the year back when they announced Skyward Sword.
Yeah. So.
Welcome to later in the year.
I don't think we're going to get a release date or anything. I just feel like maybe we'll get an update on the game, maybe a new trailer or something.
Yeah, no Breath of the Wild 2 stuff. It's all Skyward Sword.
People will be so pissed.
This is Game Builder that comes out yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It should be a fun one, though, because I think because of the way this is set up, it's basically us just doing a bunch of reactions, which that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Top Dog in our patron chat with a great great response here. Sega's probably going to release a Sonic 3 All-Stars Collection, but it will only be available until March 31st, 2022, and then Sega kills Sonic. Yeah.
Hey,
the whole point is Sega does what Nintendo don't, though, so maybe that won't happen.
That's no good.
Yeah.
Nope. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on because we got some Final Fantasy news to talk about. Two different ones. Woo! But let's start with the, let's say, less exciting one first. So Final Fantasy VII, The First Soldier, is holding a closed beta from June 1st to June 7th. You can sign up now. It started up today at 6 a.m. Pacific time, and you have until May 27th to do that. It is, the sign-up method is through Google Play, and it's Android only on US. So if you have an iPhone, you're out of trouble. You're out of luck. But I believe the stream also showed off a bit more details about the game, which I didn't actually get the chance to see. Did any of you guys sit down and watch the live stream?
No, it was like 4 a.m. or something. It was like 4 or 5 in the morning or something.
God, that's awful.
It was not going to happen.
I got up early for only one stream, and it was not that one. So,
yeah.
I'm kind of a mixed bag on this one.
Yeah.
I went ahead and signed up for that beta, but it's begrudgingly. I'm not super interested in it. I feel like most people that I saw on my timeline when the game was announced were like, is this a thing we asked for? I mean, I guess we'll probably play it, but did we ask for this thing?
The thing for me is the fact that it's, what is it, only on mobile?
Yeah, it's only mobile. Yeah.
If it was on PC, I'd at least be more interested because I'd be able to play it in a comfortable way. But being on mobile is just like, eh.
That's the thing. It's like, and I know we were saying much the same, not only about this, but about Ever Crisis as well. It's like, I mean, Ever Crisis, I'll tell you what, I'm going to play no matter what. But, God, I wish both that and The First Soldier were coming to consoles, or even just Steam, but especially consoles. I'm not, you know, a big Battle Royale game guy, but I would totally check this out if it was coming to consoles, at least. Just because, I mean, look, Final Fantasy, you got me. Sure, I'll check it out.
It's like, you know, there's potential here. It looks nice. It's impressive this is running on a mobile game, and they have, you know, fun costumes. They have a Chocobo hoodie, which I'm down.
Of course they do. They have to.
Yeah, the pandering Chocobo hoodie.
Exactly. Yeah,
they'll get it. They'll get people. They'll get people's money. It will happen.
It's going to be the name of the new Chocobo theme song, Pandering Day Chocobo.
I'm down. I'm down. I don't know. It looks nice, but because it's mobile, it's just hard to care. And I can't even check out the closed beta because I don't have Google Play. So, oh well.
Whoops.
Yeah. No. And I would even check out the beta on mobile if I didn't have an iPhone or if I had an Android, but I rocket an iPhone, so don't have that option here.
Yeah, me neither.
We'll see about it if I get into that beta. We'll see.
I hope you do.
Good luck.
Because I'd be very curious about your thoughts on it. I really would.
I'm concerned that I'll be way too harsh on it just because A, mobile, and B, that's not my genre of game to begin with. I would totally throw down if it were PC, though. I would be way
it
more
feels
excited,
like, such
like
a
you
better
said.
Fit on PC.
It would be way better on PC. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And you know, as you know, there's ways around that, as Adam Davis in the patron chat points out, you know, emulate and stuff like that. But you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, I don't like to emulate too often. I like it legit. I don't want to go to the setup.
It never works 100% the way it's intended if you emulate. You can get real close sometimes, but it's never exactly as intended.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, before we move on to the bigger Final Fantasy news, I do want to thank Rene de Echette. I'm going to go with that. I'm so sorry for the mispronunciation. I am terrible at that. For the €5 donation, thank you so much, saying, can't wait for E3. You know, I was down on that digital presentation when it first got announced, but the more it's getting announced and the more closer we're getting, it's like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Might be good. Might be good.
Yeah.
We'll see.
June's going to be a busy month for us.
Yeah.
Jeez, it is. All right. Well, let's talk about the other bit of Final Fantasy news. And the final Final Fantasy VII, that's a weird sentence, Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade trailer has released. Be careful watching the opening minutes if you have not played the remake yet, because boy, does it go into spoilers.
Right? Like, right, that is ridiculous.
Right from the right get-go, to the end of the just game.
Spoilers. Yeah. Like,
so
they
I admit,
don't
I haven't watched this trailer
damn.
Yet.
Have you played Remake yet?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
They were showing off something that, like, I was just mistaking for being the original game. And I thought, oh, no, wait, maybe this is new material. And then I had to sit and think about it. Like, no, I've seen this. Thanks, guys. Maybe they're just really counting on selling this to the people who do, in fact, already have it for the Yuffie-related stuff.
Is there a non-spoilery way to tell me what the spoiler was?
the very last fight of the game.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, they basically open up with, yeah.
Why?
Right? Yeah. I was like, why would they do that? I mean, I guess if you don't know what you're looking at, it's one thing, but still, though, I don't know. That's, yeah, I don't think that was the right move by Square, really at all. But the trailer itself is pretty hype. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
I'm very excited about this. And the last couple of seconds of the trailer embody the anime bullshit that I'm talking about that I love so much.
Yeah.
It gets me so excited for this.
I will say I am shocked a bit that, because I when they showed Vice in the last trailer, I'm like, okay, that's part of the Yuffie bit. But no, they specifically in this trailer show you fighting Vice with the original team, with Cloud, Tifa, and Aerith in this case. It's like, huh, okay.
And speaking of Vice, we got a new Deep Ground soldier appearing in this new trailer, Nero,
yeah,
his
so
brother.
More connections to, like, Dirge of Cerberus.
Why?
Not super thrilled about that. That is
that's
not
the only game in the compilation I haven't played. So I'm like,
You know,
you
what?
Have
okay.
not missed a thing.
It's
yeah,
okay.
I've heard.
You yeah. want to have your anime BS.
That's
there you
some
go.
Anime bullshit right there.
Yeah,
yeah, but it, like in the bad Dirge way, Cerberus. Though. Yeah, Dirge of Cerberus is. Yeah.
It's something else.
Yuffie looks great. She really does. Yes, I still think, like, oh, this is too early to introduce her, but maybe it doesn't matter because she looks really good. Then they showed what was really interesting was they showed that other mini game from the original Final Fantasy VII.
Fort Condor.
Fort Condor mini game. It looks updated with slightly new mechanics. I thought that was really interesting that they implemented it at all.
That
Fort Condor
cool
this
early,
but
bring
it's
it back.
Interesting.
That's odd, but okay.
Yeah,
I love
it. It was a bold decision for them to bring it back as a mini game and not, you know, not try to, I guess, integrated
war
into...
in Fort Condor. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I know there are people who are going to be people who are pissed off by that, but I think given the way Remake is going so far, it makes sense the way they're doing.
Yeah. They can pretty outside the huge materia stuff. There's not really any reason to go to Fort Condor. Nobody really bothered with that mini game. Let's be honest.
I certainly didn't.
Yeah.
I did for about 10 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah. You just played it once and there's early tower defense type stuff. And this doesn't look like tower defense. This looks more like, oh God.
Tactical. Is it, did it look real time?
Yeah, a bit. Honestly, my first thought was Lord of Verminion from 14.
Oh, no.
Okay.
That was so confusing. I think it's more like a, like League of Legends type thing. It almost
it still
like.
Doesn't look
oh,
like something
like,
I'm
going to
really
want to
spend.
Yeah, go defend
it
kind of
seemed
lane.
Like that from
yeah.
the bit I yeah. saw. Do you not have the trailer with you, Brandon? Here, I'll put in the green room so you can see it yourself. And so you can take a look at the thing. But Yuffie's gameplay looks fantastic. That's a different game, that's for sure.
Right.
But then they mention a Miffy? Melfi?
Melfi, yeah.
Character Melfi? Is this related to Yuffie? Who is this person?
Does she have like a new sister or something like that?
I don't know.
Oh, this looks more like an RTS to me.
Right.
It could be RTS.
Right.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it looked real time or not. I wasn't really certain.
But you have those three like Phoenix pillars while you put down your stuff. So it's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Also, I do like the fact that Scarlet seems to be sort of the main villain. Like you dealt with
stuck her in like Magitek armor.
Is it Magitek?
I don't know if it's like legitimately called Magitek armor, but you know, I mean, they put her in like a giant robot and she stomps.
Yeah. My first thought was that's like the Proud Clawed, like an early version of the Proud Clawed from when the final fight against her and Heidegger at the end of the game.
That would make sense.
So,
I mean, I like the way you think. It's Magitek armor in my mind. I like the way you think.
Oh, totally Magitek.
Yeah.
Also, hype that Ramu's in here. He looks fantastic.
Ramu looks
amazing. He
looks
great. And also, special shout out to Susie Jung, Yuffie's new voice actress. She, by all accounts, just early looks, she's doing an amazing job. And again, that last couple of seconds of the trailer I'm talking about, it is completely due to her that I got goosebumps watching. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really good. She's killing it.
Oh, God. Skull Kid Tiger. Obviously, it's Yuffie's mom, Milfie.
That's what I heard. I wasn't going to say anything, but I was like, that's kind of what I heard Milfie too.
Don't say these words to me again.
As Nibel on Twitter also continues, Tetsuya Nomura had a short message during the first Soldier stream about FF7 Remake Part 2. Just a couple of quick points here. Development is going smoothly. Hooray. Part 2 starts right after Intergrade. Quote unquote, Cloud is running in the wilderness in the sequel, and there is a different atmosphere than part one. So take for that what you will. Maybe we're talking about the Gungaga wilderness. Who knows? More nature. That's good. I mean,
so running around in the wilderness, that makes sense. Yeah, because they're leaving Midgar. They've hit the world map. Right. It's time to go to Calm. Maybe they're going to go out to the city of Calm or the town of Calm or whatever.
Chocobo Farm.
Yeah.
Me, Gungaga.
Yeah,
I imagine we'll probably have Gungaga, probably the Mithril Mines. Maybe we'll get to fight the Midgar's Olam. Yeah,
I mean, the Midgar's Olam, that impressive when you see like Sephiroth mounting it on the tree anymore when we've had that final fight.
Definitely good point. Yeah,
yeah. It's like okay, sure. Yeah, he did that. Like it's just I want to talk about a theory I heard from somebody about 7 Remake, but it's so spoiler heavy that I don't. I can't really say it here. Maybe in the post show.
Yeah, maybe the post show. Yeah,
but I don't know. Everything seems pretty good. And just one other thing from Nibel here is apparently it's a PS5 console exclusive for at least 6 months. So
yeah, that's
Sony's
a bummer.
Going that tightly.
that's a bummer to me because I would play it right away, but them PS5s still scarce, and desperate for one at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely tricky, and I hope you can find one in the time that until it comes out. I know it's a pain, but
I managed to secure that Xbox Series X just fine, but not the PS5.
PS5. Yeah. I knew Ratchet and Clank was coming, and then Final Fantasy was a bonus. Like, oh, cool, and now I can enjoy Resident Evil Village on PS5. So it's like, okay, I'm finally really using this thing because I've been so busy with other stuff I can't quite do it. To answer Cream Basics question in the Patreon chat, just so I'm clear, Intergrade isn't offering any new content, right? It's just a next gen upgrade. Incorrect. There is apparently a new boss for the main story with Vice, and then the whole Intergrade episode, which is, you know, where you play as Yuffie, because you don't do that in the original. However, it is a free upgrade from PS4 to PS5, other than the Yuffie stuff. That's extra $20 to do. So think of it like a DLC pack.
Right, exactly. But yeah, just the visual upgrades, performance upgrades, stuff like photo mode, that's all part of the free upgrade. It's really just the Yuffie episode that you're paying for.
Yep. Which, not a bad way to handle it.
It's fair. Yeah, no, I think it's totally fair. The PS5, it's fair.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, that's Sony's fault that nobody can get a PS5.
Oh, true. Yeah, you Narukami in our Patreon chat does point out the important fact that if you got Remake via PlayStation Plus, you don't get a free upgrade.
True. PlayStation Plus, you also got that version free. So.
Exactly. So it's totally fair, I think. But yeah, just make sure you're aware of that.
Yep. All right. We'll see what actually happens. But well, Kaylin, you ready to geek out?
Oh, yeah.
let's bring up the next bit of news. All right. And Lost Judgment was leaked and officially revealed today. The sequel to Judgment, and it adds the Yokohama as a new location. It is launching simultaneously, first time in the series, worldwide on September 24th for all the typical consoles, basically everything other than Switch. And Kaylin, I'm just going to throw it to you. How's this looking?
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't believe that it's actually getting a simultaneous worldwide launch.
That's so cool.
I know the team had been talking for a long time. How do we close the gap between the Japanese release and the North American release? And there was a really big gap between Japan and North America with Like a Dragon. It was the better part of a year. It was at least 3/4 of the year that went by before an English release happened. And so to see the very next game, the very next year, get simultaneous worldwide release, they did all of that in the shadows of horrible COVID year too, is even more impressive.
Right.
That's wild to me. Of course, they just made that Yokohama map, and that Yokohama map is the biggest map they've ever made for a Yakuza title. So of course they're going to go back and they're going to use it again. And this title looks way darker than the original Judgment did. So many new little mini game things. Now you can just ride around the map on a skateboard. That was pretty cool. It looked like the trailing missions. I think people really complained about, you got to track some guy down and take a photograph of him. What's this guy doing? And it was an interesting concept in the first Judgment, but I think people got really bored by it really fast. It looks like you can do a whole lot more than that this time, like distract people by throwing something in their path or something like that. There's a screenshot floating around of you can use a dog on your
Yeah, you can
missions.
Walk the dog in this. So
yeah, you can walk it. A dog to have it search things out for you, apparently. A dancing mini game, which is really impressive because Kimutaku, the guy who plays the main character in Japanese, is based on his facial model, and facial models based on him. He was part of the really big popular boy band SMAP, the biggest Asian group that ever existed, apparently. And so now they've given him a dance mini game, and of course they should, because they didn't let him sing. They didn't give him karaoke in Judgment, but dancing is good.
There you go.
That's awesome. Well,
it's like a high school dance team, right?
Yeah. So, he goes to high school? This old man comes skateboarding up to high school. How do you do, fellow kids? And then goes and has a dance battle with them. It kind of looks like he's training them to do some sort of high school dance competition or something like that. Trains this whole girl dance team. It looks like they're members of AKB48 or Love Live or something. I don't know. It looks amazing. Apparently, he'll occasionally get into scraps with high schoolers. I don't know how that's supposed to go down.
Amazing.
This 35-year-old man coming to punch some 16-year-old kid.
Anime as hell.
Very anime. Very, very
and
anime.
I mean, just you know, having played Yakuza Like a Dragon for as long as I have, I know they're going to handle these elements so smoothly. And I just recently got to try the karaoke minigame for the first time. And so if what we're seeing with the dancing in Lost Judgment is anything like that, it's going to be so fun.
If you ever get all the way up to like Yakuza 5, they have dance battles in Yakuza 5.
Awesome.
So it feels like a return to form with something else that they have done before. But that used to be like a 1v1. Your character is facing off against somebody else in the street.
Oh, okay.
This looks more like your character is training this whole team of girls to do some sort of dance competition. So it's similar but different. But yeah, the rhythm game aspect has always been there in these Yakuza games. Oh, I'm so excited.
The only thing stopping me from playing Yakuza 0 through 6 are the couple hundred hours I would need to be able to do so. That's really the only thing stopping me. I have every desire to. And,
right,
and
just exactly.
Minigames in general. I've learned that like the minigames... Yeah.
It's super intimidating to feel like you got to go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Right.
But But Judgment, that's why I always kind of push Judgment. Like, if you think you might be interested in the Yakuza franchise, maybe try to start with Judgment, because you don't have to worry about this enormous backlog of story.
Right.
You don't have to feel overwhelmed that you got to get to know, oh my god, like a decade and a half worth of characters. So this could be a good place to start. You don't have to worry about any of those other dudes popping up. Well, although the stuff that has happened in Yakuza, like, affects the environment in this game too.
Right, that makes sense. Well, I did play the first few hours of the first of Judgment, and I really enjoyed what I played. I just didn't have time to stick with it, but
sure.
Again, I want to go back and play, but I really loved what I played. But I will say, Yakuza Like a Dragon got its hooks in me in a different way for sure.
Oh yeah, it's like the same but different. The tone is different.
Yeah,
it's the same engine, it's the same maps, but a totally different tone, and of course a totally different set of battle mechanics. And I think a lot of people who are familiar with the older battle mechanics, the brawler style battle mechanics, are really excited to revisit the map that's in Like a Dragon, but do it with the classic brawler style. I think that'll be really, really fun.
That's gonna be cool.
I've finally got a chance to watch the trailer while you guys are talking, just getting a sense of this, and my god, it's just pretty. It is very pretty.
It's gorgeous looking, and it went way darker even than the first game. And the first game, I feel like, is pretty dark for a Yakuza franchised game, too.
I love that the game not involving the Yakuza is the one that's dark.
Right? Yeah.
Caitlin, do you think there's any chance we'll see a cameo appearance by Ichiban in Lost Judgment?
It feels like they do everything they can to just barely skirt by cameos. Yeah. Mind you, there is a secret boss character that has appeared in just about every Yakuza game, and he does appear in Judgment as well. So there's like little hidden elements that you might see sprinkled in there, or you might hear whispers of the name of somebody appear in Judgment. And if you haven't played the Yakuza franchise, you might not get the hints of what they're talking about, but they absolutely hint at these other characters existing. They already did in the trailer. Stuff that happened in Like a Dragon, they bring up the Liumong, I guess that was the Chinese mafia there in that town. They bring up the name of that mafia here in this trailer for Lost Judgment. So that's really cool. Right. That's a really cool tie-in. We might see something. We might get Onomichio. This dude, this mascot character with the big orange head. Yeah, so he shows up from Yakuza 6. He's in Yakuza 7. He's in Judgment. So that's kind of a cameo from
That's true.
Yakuza
I just did that side quest and it was hilarious.
Yeah. So little things like that do carry over. So I don't know if we're going to see like a major name, a well-known front-facing character name pop up in Lost Judgment, but they'll tease it. They'll tease a lot of stuff.
Like if you know, you know. It's one of those things like you don't need to know, like you won't miss anything, but if you know it, you know it. And I think that's a fun way to handle that sort of thing. That way you're not like, who's this guy?
Right.
But it's amazing. Just these games look so much fun. I am really looking forward to playing more of them. I own Yakuza 0 through 5. It's like I just need to sit down and play them.
It is a time sink. I'm not gonna lie, it's a time sink, but it's so worth it. And you're gonna see why it is that people get so enthralled with it, because most of the time, the narrative is really good, but then all of a sudden you'll get this mood whiplash and you're racing tiny little cars against children. And you get kind of that same tone here in Lost Judgment as well, because you can see from the gameplay part of the trailer that was kind of detached. He's suddenly doing battle bots.
I saw that. Yeah. I just got to that point in the gameplay trailer. And the dance sequence, Ash, is total rhythm game.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So, no, I can't wait to go. I've only been able to watch some of the trailer with the volume off, so I'm looking forward to, after we're done here, to go properly watch the trailer the way it's intended to be viewed. I will say this: I was thinking the other day about how I would be happy to buy a standalone version of Can Quest with online play and more content. The mini games in this series are amazing, and Can Quest is so much fun. I want more of it.
CanQuest is like, it's like Pac-Man with its own flavor.
Yeah.
It's wild. I would almost have it as a mobile game. That, like, if I'm just want to kill time, I'm sitting in an office somewhere, I would do that.
Yeah.
A lot of those mini games, you could package them, you could repackage them as mobile games for like $2 or something like that.
I mean, they have full-blown arcade games in there, right?
They do. Like, they stuffed in, was it all of Virtua Fighter? Stuffed into Yakuza 6, I think, or maybe even Like a Dragon.
It's in 7 as well, yeah. Virtua Fighter 5, Final Showdown, I think, yeah.
So you can just jump in and do a few fights, and apparently the entire game for, I guess it was Xbox 360, is stuffed in there, but you have to mod it to get, like, the full game, like, pull the game out of the game.
Before we move on to the next topic, which is still connected to all of this, but I just wanted to mention real quick, Sterlson, thank you so much for the $10 Canadian donation. It's very generous of you saying, hey guys, been watching forever, but the first time I can donate. Thank you all for all you guys do. Keep the good vibes up. Heck yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's why I wanted to have Kaylin on here. It's a shame that Steve couldn't be here, because I can just see her passion. Like, she just lights up with this stuff. And it's like, man, that's how you screw gatekeeping, man, because this is how you get somebody into it. It's like, oh, you guys don't know this, screw that. And it's like, no, anytime I see a fandom, it's like, anytime there's a fandom, like, no, you gotta like check this out and do this, like, where they're pushing, like, no, push stuff in my face. Like, that's how Final Fantasy 14 got me. So there you go.
That is going in out of context.
But you also can't expect somebody to sit through, like we mentioned before, like 7-8 different titles to get to the thing that you, which is why I push Judgment the way that I do, because you don't have to worry about just dumping all of this lore onto somebody. You know, you start at a pretty reasonable pace with no knowledge of the franchise and get a taste for what the whole rest of the franchise feels like.
Reminds me of how we push Final Fantasy 14 because of that incredible free trial that includes the entirety of Realm Reborn and the first expansion.
Up to level 60. Apparently that's getting pushed even more so, because apparently it's not a story on here, but apparently WoW is not doing great right now. Like, they I've seen some fans that are very not happy with WoW at the moment.
Ouch.
Yeah. I don't know the full story, but apparently they're just not listening to people and just doing their own thing. So
good old Blizzard.
Sounds like Blizzard.
That's what Blizzard's become, it seems.
Yeah.
But speaking of Yakuza, you know, we have two different, very different games right now. We have an RPG with Yakuza 7, and we're back to an action game with Judgment. Well, that's how it's going to be from that one, because according to the studio, Yakuza from now on is going to be the turn-based RPG series, while Judgment will be the action series. And you know what? That's kind of amazing.
I'm kind of with it. I know there are some fans that are like, boo, bring back the brawler to Yakuza. But we've got a whole new cast of characters, and I think it fits them. I think RPG style fits them just fine. Although I would be very interested in seeing what Ichiban is like as a brawler in a brawler set of mechanics. Maybe one day. But I don't think they're ready for it yet. And I think that's fair, because the RPG fits Ichiban's personality
exactly.
So well.
That's what I was going to say. Because he, you know, he's obsessed with Dragon Quest. He sees himself as the hero in his own video game. Like, it's perfect for him. He has his party of friends. Like, it's it plays off his character very well. Mm-hmm. And I'm just waiting for them now to, I mean, I think it's cool that it's staying turn-based JRPG, but look, as long as they bring Ichiban back in Yakuza 8, they can basically do whatever genre they want, and I'll play it, just because I love that character so much.
I bonded myself parasocially to this character so hard. I just found him so likable. And I know a lot of people who spent a lot of time with the previous protagonist, Kiryu, they love, you know, their stoic dad figure. But I love him, too. But Ichiban is so different, and he's just such a likable dude, and it's no wonder he has a full party of friends because people like him. He's just a likable guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he genuinely is.
And it kind of works because they could now they because they called it Like a Dragon in the US, they could just call it Like a Dragon 2 for the next game and just keep that up, and that way it feels separate.
They could. That kind of worked out.
Mm.
I wonder though if maybe this decision with Lost Judgment might not affect the naming scheme of other Yakuza titles from this point onward. Maybe not though, because the branding is already so set in stone for Yakuza. But this is also the first time they have named the game the same thing internationally in the whole franchise.
Right. Oh yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how
because Like a Dragon is just Yakuza 7 in Japan. So
right. In fact, the original title, Ryuga Gotoku 7, that translates to Like a Dragon 7. So they did like that Biohazard Resident Evil thing.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that. Yeah.
So maybe Like a Dragon could still stick because that is the name of the game in Japanese. I have no idea what they're going to choose to do from this point forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that Ollie Nad in the patron chat. Yakuza Like a Dragon Quest.
Exactly.
That's perfect. Exactly. Maybe Yakuza Also Like a Dragon or Like Another Dragon.
Or Like a Dragon Warrior.
Yeah. Oh, I like that too.
Okay. That's good.
This is interesting though, because as Sakuragi points out in our patron chat, the original Judgment was known as Judge Eyes in Japan. Is that correct?
Yes,
and
it is.
They're not doing it this time.
Exactly, which is why I said, yeah, this marks the first time internationally they're going to do the same name both in Japan and in the West, and they've never done that in the franchise history before.
I'll be honest, Judgment is a better title than Judge Eyes.
Oh, it definitely.
It is.
Definitely.
It doesn't read as well in the States also.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's not because of a huge chunk of the story of Judgment revolved around there being a murderer who took an ice pick to his victim's eyes.
Oh, I don't like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, pleasant. That's maybe a good reason to stay away from
that.
Might
be why.
I mean, we definitely saw a intense murder in the trailer for Lost Judgment, so yeah, that matches.
Right.
Yeah, it made me nervous because we see in that same trailer somebody else brings out an ice pick. so I was getting real nervous for a second.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Got a copycat.
Well, yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to our next story.
We actually have a new super chat.
Oh, right. Before we do that, before the next story, I'm so sorry about that. Left Docs Fluxington, who gave a $5 donation. Thank you so much. And says, just want to thank you guys. This show gives me something to listen to while at work and is a great source for gaming news and good vibes. Cheers. Well, thank you so much. Glad we can entertain you during work. That is kind of the attention. Like,
Thank you so much.
The whole thing was sort of like the late show for gaming news, and we weren't able to do that because we couldn't get up in time. And so doing it live for everyone now, I think, kind of fulfills that original vision. But speaking of vision, let's go ahead and bring up the next story. And you can take this one with a bit of a grain of salt, but a former Retro Studios developer basically got questioned about Prime Trilogy on Switch, and they're saying it would take a lot of effort to make that happen. Now, something to keep in mind, this developer hasn't actually worked with Retro Studios since, what was it, Ash, 2012?
2011.
So they haven't been there for a while. But I still thought it was interesting that, like, why they thought it was going to be such a big effort, because It says it was straightforward to update Metroid Prime 1 and 2 to motion controls, but converting 3 to normal controls would be a Herculean effort, as it is scripted very specifically using volumetric triggers to detect the motion in precise manners to do specific switches, and the bosses are tuned to take into account the ease of gestural aiming. And so because of that, he also added, Retro no longer has functional editor tools to work with the Prime code base, so everything has to be brute force hard-coded. He said it could take a year with a full team of 4 to 5 people to rebuild the hundreds of interaction sets in Metroid Prime 3, as well as retuning the gameplay to take in the slow engagement pacing of conventional controls. So there's a reason, you know, that he's not off base and why it's such a big effort, But we're also getting Skyward Sword, which is almost more motion controls than Metroid Prime 3.
Mm-hmm. Is Skyward Sword an in-house port? Who's porting it? Do we know?
Oh, they have totally mentioned before who it is, and I do not remember who.
Let's see.
At this point, if Metroid Prime Trilogy does come to Switch, I would expect a different company to port it other than Retro.
Yeah. Retro's probably pretty busy at the moment.
Yeah.
It just says Nintendo EPD, so in-house.
Wow. Okay. Just like Wind Waker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as Derek was saying, I don't want to dismiss this guy's obvious expertise out of hand. He clearly knows what he's talking about in a general sense, but it is important to remember that he did 2011 and wouldn't necessarily, be an authority on specifically what's happening with a potential port of Metroid Prime Trilogy after he left. But yeah, certainly don't want to just dismiss what he's saying out of hand, because it makes a lot of sense. Although the Skyward Sword HD comparison does kind of, not throw it out, but it certainly does raise the question. Well, if they can do Skyward Sword, as you said, Derek, that has even more interactions, why not Metroid Prime 3?
Right. I mean, in the case of Trilogy, we're also dealing with three different games. So if you look at it as Prime 3 in a bubble, I think the comparison is fair. But then you've got these other two Metroid Prime games who also have those motion controls adapted in the trilogy that they'd have to work on. I don't know a lick about game development. I'm sure that this is possible. It would just take, time. And whether or not they think it's worth it is the big thing.
Right.
Yeah. I do wonder if we did get a port of Trilogy, would they give traditional first-person shooter controls to Metroid Prime 1 and 2, or would they force people to stick with how it controlled in on the GameCube? So
that's a tough one.
It is.
I think they could, but
you need a different way to switch the visor. Is it the visor or the gun? Because that's specifically mapped to the C button.
You could make that a macro, like holding down another button and then moving the right stick.
True.
Actually, that's how you use to aim, is by holding the R button to aim. So
that's true.
That's a good point.
So I think it could be done. I don't know necessarily if that control scheme would lend itself well to Metroid Prime, just given the way it's designed. That said, they did add the motion controls to 1 and 2, which did allow you to move and shoot, so it might work. I don't know. It's a good question.
I could see them maybe using R3, like clicking the right stick to bring up the visor interface and then choosing one of the cardinal directions to pick which one you want.
That sounds simple enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you played the Metroid Prime games, Kaylin?
Very little. I came in on GameCube way late. So mostly just poked around and never completed them.
Okay. Fair enough. Gotcha. Fair enough. Adam Harris in the patron chat saying, developer here, even though Skyward Sword uses motion, the two similar effects can be implemented in different ways. It's entirely possible that the MP3 code is built in a way that would be a pain to port. Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Just different development styles and whatnot. So, I don't know. I'd like to see it on Switch. I'd like to see a lot of Metroid games on Switch. But
yeah.
That would definitely give me that opportunity to go back to those games that I did not complete. I think that would be amazing if they could somehow figure out a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, agreed. Look at how much better every kind of game has sold on Switch compared to their original release. I think part of the software, the sales that we talked about at the beginning of the show, Super Mario 3D World has almost sold the same amount as the lifetime sales of that game on the Switch, on the Wii U, in just the time it's been since it's released.
I got that specifically for Mario Sunshine. I was so excited to be able to do Mario Sunshine on the Switch because I had missed out on it earlier. I was way excited about it. So bringing things to the Switch is going to reintroduce it to either the same old audience with new mechanics or new people who didn't get a chance to do it the first time. I can only think it would benefit them.
Yeah. I mean, if even Pikmin is selling much better than it did on the other consoles, it seems kind of worth it.
Right.
Right. Vedran in the live audience chat says, bring the 2D games. Yes, I have been saying I would love to see Samus Returns ported to the big screen, up-res. It doesn't have to be completely remade. Don't have to retexture everything, but I would love to play Samus Returns on the big screen. I think that would be so cool.
If you want any, like, quote-unquote dead Nintendo franchises to kind of refresh, you know, this is the system you release them on. Like, Switch has such a mind share right now amongst gamers, and I feel like people are a lot more willing to try some of Nintendo's other first-party offerings just based on the sales figures we've seen. You look at, like, Luigi's Mansion and Mario Party, and they sold a lot more than I ever would have thought they would.
Absolutely. I'm going to be very curious how the Famicom games do, those Detective Club games do.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Me too, yeah.
I feel like it might do well, but I'm also sure they might have the hardest.
I'm kind of worried they're not.
Yeah,
I was really impressed that they were even taking the risk on those.
Right.
I was like, really? Wow. Like, I will definitely buy them because I'm super curious about them. But yeah, it's a risk. I'm hoping for their sake it's a calculated risk.
There definitely seems to be this wave of Nintendo bringing their Japan only games here. Such as, we had Earthbound Beginnings on Wii U, and then the original Fire Emblem just had an anniversary release, like a really special, spectacular one. And now we have Famicom Detective Club. I feel like
it's Mother wild 3 to think is that we got, the
next thing to come up.
I was going to say, it's a wild thing that we actually got Famicom Detective Club before Mother 3.
Yeah.
At this point, who knows if it's ever happening. But yeah, no, Caitlin, I can say if you have any interest at all in Famicom Detective Club, and you do, Steve and I have been playing it for review, and we did our preview like a week and a half ago or so.
Oh,
and
really?
It's fun. So if you like visual novels,
I'm so down
for
it.
Yeah, at least based on like the first five chapters or so, I think you're going to like what you see.
For sure. I am so there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking out myself. When's that coming out again, Ash?
I think the 12th or the 13th.
Okay.
Oh, it's sooner
than
I thought.
Is it sooner than that? Or the 11th, maybe?
I don't know. I just know it gives me maybe enough time to beat Resident Evil Village before those come out.
This month has been kicking ass for games. There's so much stuff I want to play right now.
It's May 14th, actually, so it's a little further than I thought.
I've been barely staying ahead of releases, kind of. Mm-hmm. Not really.
I've got like 3 hours. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just about to go back into the Mass Effect games. And like, they're games I've already beaten, but I can't help myself. I'm going to go buy it again here in just a little bit, just a few more days, I guess, I think. Comes out, next week or something? I'm excited to do it all over again, like a fool. Make bad decisions.
That's all right. Oh, that's right. The next big one is Miitopia on the 21st.
All right.
And oh god, the Shin Megami Tensei 3 remaster. Oh god.
There's so much.
And World's End Club, which just got a demo. I have not had a chance to try that demo out, but that's
same.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I want to check that out as well. Anyway, we're getting off a little off topic here, so let's go ahead and jump into our final.
We do have one more chat, super chat to read, Derek.
Thank you for keeping that track of that, Ash. I am so sorry.
No
JJ the killer. Sorry, I thought that said Jet J. JJ the killer 8 with $5 Canadian donation. Thank you so much. Saying, yo, Ash and Derek, been following you since the old days of Smash 4 picks of the day discussions. Thank you for being part of my daily life for so long. You poor thing.
That's
you're welcome.
right? No, thank you so much for following us for so long. That's a long time ago. So thank you very much. We're happy to have you here. Seriously, thank you.
Yeah, we had that throwback that went up today with the Smash discussion.
Yeah, so enjoy that. Yeah, there is a Smash discussion up on our channel as our first weekly discussion going forward. So yeah, enjoy that.
I still have to listen to that.
Nice.
You
do.
I do.
All right. Yeah. All right. Final bit of news. Let's go ahead and pop that up. And Bandai Namco has registered a new trademark for the Baton Kaitos games in Europe. Does this mean anything? Hard to say, but I can't say it's not a bad idea for this for Bandai Namco, considering this is made for, you know, these were made by Monolith Soft. So slap a from the creators of Xenoblade Chronicles on that re-release, and bam, you got yourself some interested fans.
This was probably not coming out. But... yet again, missed my GameCube era stuff, and I was always super curious about this, but it was also kind of obscure. I've almost never heard anybody talk about it at the time. But if something else is going to come out in this franchise, I would be all over it. 100%. Put these games on Switch, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I own the original Bat and Kaidos on GameCube. I picked it up and I never got Origins because, well, I never really played through Bat and Kaidos because it's a battle system using cards. And I was like, it didn't quite catch me right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was the voice acting is atrocious. Like, ooh. Nice. Like I actually actively turned off the voice acting because it was just distracting me so badly. I want to go back because there's so many people that love these games. And whatnot, but I've not really dived into it.
I had heard it was a sleeper, you know? I had heard good things about it from the people who did play it.
Mm-hmm. Some interesting comments in the patron chat. From Jet Set says the VO in that sounds like it's being recorded in a tin can. So there's an idea.
So along the lines of Shenmue, then.
Yeah. and then from Eduardo Tena, mentioning that Bat and Kaidos Origins never released in Europe, so having a trademark in Europe is kind of interesting. That's a better sign than most trademarks. I'll say that right now.
I played the original a bit, and I kind of bounced off it. Bat and Kaidos has never really been my thing, but it is cool to see it possibly, you know, have a resurgence here. And I know it's something that is a fan favorite for a lot of people, kind of a cult hit. So I think it's really great to see that it might be making a comeback. Though a word of caution from a fellow Bandai Namco fan of another series, we did get that Klonoa trademark and nothing has happened with it in months and months and months.
It's coming.
So
I swear it's coming.
Please let it be coming. Come on. don't put too much stock yet. Just, you know, don't assume it's coming, but hope that it's coming because hey, a trademark is at least something.
Yeah. Swerve, it's actually the main character from Bat and Kaidos in Smash.
Oh my god, can you imagine?
Oh, imagine.
Be some whiplash on that one.
Yeah. But it's one of those things like could mean something, could mean nothing, likely means nothing, but hey, how often do you get to talk about Bat and Kaidos?
Right.
I mean, they could be just them just playing around with an idea. And maybe it doesn't go very far internally. But it does say, well, they thought about it. They thought about it for a second.
Yeah.
Brady Power in our patron chat says, Dream will be a Xenosaga collection. Yes, please. More people need to play those games.
We're getting Bat and Kaidos as a trademark before That's the interesting part.
Xenosaga 2, not so great, granted, but Xenosaga 1 was solid, and Xenosaga 3, straight up, you guys, is one of the very best JRPGs on PlayStation 2. It is actually that good. Wow. So more people need to play that
series.
Got
an anime series at the time? Like, it had a huge franchise following, and where did it go?
I mean, they still pull out Cosmos as much as they can, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Right.
So... oh boy. Well, we'll have to see actually what comes of that. But with that story, I think we've covered all the major headlines from today's news. But before we sign off, Kaylin, where can we find you at?
Across various social media at MarsGurl, MarzGurl, a YouTube channel that is not updated as often as I would like, but every so often, I will drop something there. So youtube.com/MarsGurl. Just feel free to find me across social media. Twitch.tv/MarsGurl. I'm streaming a little more frequently than I am plopping down video reviews these days. But I am extremely online, probably more than I should be. Come find me.
Mm-hmm. And Brandon, I'm actually gonna have you plug yourself as well because we have you on all the time, but I don't think we've ever had you properly plug yourself too much just because you're always with us and you know we're live now, so we're gonna I know you just became affiliate on Twitch, so
I did. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Merrileaf. You can find me on Twitter at Merrileaf_. You can find me on on YouTube at Breaker Marcade, and occasionally right here on Good Vibes Gaming. So lots of places.
Every so often. Yeah. Every so often.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for joining us today. This is a lot of fun, but we also have to give a major thank you to all of our patrons, no matter what your level. It's, you know, we can't be grateful enough, honestly. But a special thanks to our patrons at the producer tier, as this show just would not be possible without all of your support. And of course, a massive, massive thank you to our executive producers and above. And that includes Jared Ettinger, Brandon Bovia, Rob Arman X, Itiono Ben, Dan Entwistle, Dennis J, Z Patty, Hyrule Hermit, Sky Blue Flames, Adam O'Sullivan, It's ATM, Octopuppet, Richard Herrera, Michael Fone, Aiko Carroll, Yin the Reaper, The D-Pad, Vesmio, Waffle King, Kitty Kong Facts, Angel Martinez, Vedran Hotik, 112, Macalau, John, Joshua Hunter, Evernight Studio, Benny Yao, Alicia, Azran 127, Ken Ruleo 9, Jake Pelka, Geller, Joseph Rutkin, Titus Malvolio, Charlie Bird, Geeky Griffin, Lucky Wonderfish, Top Dog 23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Doug Shomix, Andrew Medeiros, Orm M, Sakuragi, Rox the Cat, Fizzy Wagoid, Flaming Highwayman, The Legend of Groose, Eddie B, Kai Ed, West Egg, Master Lynx.
Where'd the
Dinith,
rest of the credits go? Sorry. Oh,
no. I'll still read them. Coda, Michael McCall, Matthew Wong, Goron Amber, Straight Lace, Hooby, Wolf X Blake, Moon Macarons, Ascaron 809, Kane, Captain Finlandia, 60 Minutes and 60 Seconds, The Game Orb, Dano the Artist, Ravelox, Synchro Lord, Brainchild, Rosa Bowling. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Steve, Mom.
Yeah. Kotar Peck, Scuff 196, Skull Kid Tiger. Well, speaking of, thank you very much for that $5 donation saying a wild Skull Tiger has appeared. Skull Kid Tiger has appeared. If Kai shows up in the credits or post show, we would have blatant Kaitos. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That's great.
AJB Cool, Blizzica, Jason Uloa, Jaden Buck, Phantom Project, Wheezy Penguin, Derek, Stephen Nelson, Ray Clawson Jr., and Nathan Woodruff. Whew. We are getting one up here making Ash work, which, you know, keep making him dance.
Exactly.
And, and you know, we swear we will get these little hiccups figured out for the show. You
my
know.
Bad.
We get live. But whether or not it actually shows up, we really do appreciate it. And that's what matters most.
And at least it happened with the EPs. And so the producers did get listed, and then the EPs got called out.
Yeah, they all did. You need to hear is the sound of my voice. So
there were two EPs, and they went up to heaven, and the rest of them are nowhere to be found.
Oh, God, like they got raptured by our very own God.
That's right.
All right. And remember that you too can become a patron over at patreon.com/GVGaming, where you can get access to our exclusive post show and ad-free content for as little as $5 a month. Thank you all so much for watching. And if you like this video, be sure to subscribe to Good Vibes Gaming for more good times like these. Until next time, good night and good vibes.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.